All right, there goes Ribby. It's 8:48 on the ticket. There's another one of our favorites that's coming to town for a golf event. We'll talk golf and hockey with the great Mike Madonna next. Gordo's Corner, fast approaching, coming up here at 9:15. But on our phone now is a DFW sports legend. He moved down with the North Stars, who became the Dallas Stars. Helped lead them to skate the cup in 1999. He is a Hockey Hall of Famer, and he's coming in town to play some golf. He is going to be a part of the Invited Celebrity Classic presented by Choctaw Casinos and Resorts at Las Colinas Country Club later this month from the 21st to the 23rd. It is the great Mike Madonna. Morning.
Morning, guys. Been a while.
It has been a while. It's good to talk to you again, and we hear you're getting the kids ready for school.
Yeah, this Mr. Mom thing is it's a grind. I never thought what I was in for. So this went down, but yeah, we're the last day today, and then we're off to our fifth annual Disney cruise for spring break tomorrow. So,
oh boy.
That going to be. So I'm going to be real tight when I get off that boat next Tuesday and go to Dallas.
Man, you're a brave man for taking that on the Disney cruise. How many kids you have now?
I think we're at five now, so that's it.
Oh my gosh.
You think you're at five now?
It's hard to count when you get up that high.
It is. You lose count sometimes when you get that high. Wow.
Feels like 11.
Yeah, so you're going to be here soon for that golf event, the Invited Celebrity Classic, Las Colinas Country Club in Irving. We've always known you've played a ton of golf. You're probably looking forward to that event. And I think you told us once you've played at Augusta National. Is that correct?
I did the that was my retirement gift from Mr. Hicks. So myself and Brett Hull and him and Bill Musselman went down to Augusta for a few days, and it was amazing. It was great. One of my it was a highlight. So it's a pretty good treat for the for hanging up the skates. So it was a great weekend.
Well, you're a scratch player, or you were a scratch player. I've always said each kid is worth at least two or three shots. I don't know if you still are or not, but how did you play when you played at Augusta?
You know, it wasn't bad. You know, I can see where they needed to make the course longer. I think from the members' tees, it's really a bit of a short course, and you can see how, you know, Tiger back in the day just ate that thing alive. You know, he just had to hit a three wood around there and get it around. So, but, you know, you look back in those shoots, like on, you know, on 18 and some of those tee boxes that they added way back there in the woods, it's like, man, it's just a shoot. And so they got to hit it long and straight off the tee for a little bit. And, you know, the other thing that was just crazy is how hilly it was. I don't think TV really does it justice how much up and down there is to like 9 and down 10 and, you know, all those hills. It's like, it was a pretty good walk, but amazing nonetheless.
What was your score that day? Do you remember?
Oh boy. I think I broke 80. Actually, I broke 80. I think I was, okay. You know, we were around 78, 79. That was when we were kind of, Holly and I were playing almost, Brett and I were playing almost every day over at Preston Trails. And, you know, we had a good life back then.
All right. Well, what is your golf game like these days with kids and all that?
You know, it's actually gotten better now that they're all in school. So that was a plus. You know, once we get off the clock from 8 to 3, I got about, you know, good 6-7 hours there to kill. So I can, you know, get a little workout in and try to stay fit and then go hit some balls and play some holes. So it's actually gotten better once they all got in school. It was a little sketchy there when a few of them were at home. It was hard to sneak out of the house at times.
Yeah, and this Invited Celebrity Classic you're playing in here in a couple of weeks, Tony Romo, Emmitt Smith, John Smoltz, Brian Urlacher, a lot of athletes from other sports. How do you usually fare against these guys on the course?
You know, really usually comes down to Romo at the end. I think we had a good little spat in Tahoe last July, and I missed a couple putts to be a part of that playoff on 18. So You know, he's got a solid game, as everybody knows. And Jack Wagner, I don't know if you remember him from Melrose Place. He's in the hospital. He's been a lifer on that tour, so he's a really solid player. But Smoltz is good. It's usually the cast of characters. Marty Fish, lefty, the tennis player. They're usually the same guys right there at the end. So it's just like always, it comes down to making a few putts here and there, and you're right there in the hunt. So it should be a fun. Guys get a little competitive too much. I think it's their last little hurrah of trying to get some competitive juices going, and sometimes it backfires because golf's not a friendly game at times.
That's the truth. Yeah, we're going to see that. We have our April Fool's Open this afternoon with the guys who've never played before. So, yeah, it's another ticket sporting event, like those ones you used to come to when we used to play hockey, and we always got a big kick out of that.
Oh, those are so fun.
This is the great Mike Madonna who's with us on the ticket, and I'm assuming you've got satellite or streaming the check-in on the Dallas Stars. How impressed with you? How impressed are you with the way they've played this year?
Very much so. I think they've kind of got a little bit of a young nucleus that's very skilled and talented with Heskinen, Ottinger, Robertson, of course, and you know, they got some good young, quick, fast players, and it makes those old guys out there look very faster than they usually are. You know, I remember when they were slow, but now they look fast with the young guys around them. So they've been fun to watch. It's been a real good you know, challenge all season long with Minnesota, Colorado, and him, and Dallas. So it's going to be tough. It's going to come right down to the end. And, you know, unfortunately, two of those teams got to play each other in the first round. That's what's tough. You know, usually, you know, you'd see that matchup maybe down in the second round or even, you know, the conference final. So, but it's how it works out. But yeah, it'll be a little sprint here to the end, the last five or six games. But I like Dallas, very deep, very strong, you know. You know, as you know, it starts with that goaltender, but he seems to be on top of the game when playoffs come around. So I feel like they're going to make a little bit of a pitch here and possibly go deep, I think. So it's just how Colorado plays. I think how Vegas, you know, Seattle's kind of come out of nowhere, and they've kind of surprised some teams here in the last part of the season. So it's, you know, it's just getting in that playoffs. You get into the playoffs and, boy, anything can happen. There's always a major upset somewhere along the line, so you just hope you're not one of them.
How'd you feel last week when Jason Robertson broke your Dallas franchise record for scoring in a season? That was an impressive moment when he got his 100th point.
Yeah, it was. I think it was really neat for him. I think he's just been on a real good tear. And, I just happened to be at the game. I didn't really know that he was kind of closing in on it, so I happened to be at the Coyote game that night, and you know, looking back on his goals, and I the one he did score there from the slot, he kind of gave a little extra like fist pump, like there was some type of meaning to that point. So actually, then I realized that was the one that he broke the record. So I think he knew it in the back of his head, so he gave it a little extra, you know, celebration there. But yeah, it was good for him. He's had a tremendous year. He's a tremendous player, great shot, just a real talented, gifted guy. He just kind of knows where to go to score. And, you know, it's nice to see a good American kid up there again. So I'm happy for him.
When you watch and you see just how loud it is at the American Airlines Center, you see young players like that, it has to give you flashbacks to just how special that was when you guys moved here in 93. Within 6 years, you're skating the Cup. We look back at that as just such an awesome time. That must take you back to what that was like for you, making that move and not knowing how it was going to go here.
Absolutely. I think we just all knew why in the world would you take a hockey team out of Minnesota and put them in Texas? You know, it's like it's the last place. It's like, you know, taking the Cowboys and putting them in, you know, somewhere in south of Minnesota. It's like it wouldn't have worked. So, yeah. And we thought that right off the bat. We're like, wow, this is going to be a joke. Something's going to be figured out. We'll stay in Minnesota. We're not going to go to Texas to play hockey. And, you know, sure enough, we got a call a month later saying, hey, you know, get down to Texas and find a place to live. We're moving down there. We're going to have camp there. And we're like, wow, this is legit. So, but yeah, it was, a phenomenal start right off the start of the year. We had a great little following. I think it was just a real novelty at the start, and people were just excited to go see something different. And I feel at that time we just really kind of took hold of a fan base that wasn't quite so into football or basketball or baseball or anything, and we just really kind of dragged them along, and they've been there ever since. You know, they all been there 30 plus years as season ticket holders or whatnot. So, but yeah, then that late 90 run come in, and then, you know, it was just something magical. I mean, the city was going crazy. I think Reunion was, you know, just an amazing place to play. It was just so intense and loud. I just don't think we heard louder buildings in the day back in those game sevens against Colorado. And, you know, it was just, gives you chills. I just love thinking back about it. And, you know, we reminisce with guys, and it was an amazing time. So it was a great run. You certainly miss it at this time of year in April. You're thinking, man, those were some good years.
Well, because of that, we imagine there'll be a big gallery following you, and there's going to be a lot of people that are just thrilled to have you back in town playing in the Invited Celebrity Classic. Can't wait to see you. Appreciate the time this morning.
You got it, guys. Good talking with you. Take care.
You too. We still have Gordo.
Oh, unfortunately. Sorry for you guys.
Oh, no. My.
He took a shot at Gordo. You just sent him into a tailspin.
Oh, poor guy. Get over it.
All right. We'll see you.
See you, gang. See ya.
Here goes the great Mike Madonna. You guys used to come out to your late night show, didn't he?
Yeah, we hung out at a bar one night when we were broadcasting there.
Yeah,
and then
we didn't see him out as much.
And then when I was doing the TV show, I remember his wife at the time was a big watcher of that. Mm. We talked about that for a while.
The great Mike.
Mike
Madonna.
And I go way back.
Oh yeah, way back. All right, what's next in the corner?
Well, quite a conundrum next.
Tiger's about to tee off. We'll have a Masters update in 15 minutes, but right now, Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Tylock George Laser Eye Care and A1 Locksmith Security and Safes.
Man, I just got to tell you, I'm just so nervous today. I'm so shaken. You know, this is the biggest day of my sports career.
Kind of is.
When you think about it. I mean, I've participated in, I think, 2 golf ticket events before, maybe. Did I ever play in the Dunham Miller Open?
Paul Stankowski Challenge.
Yeah. That was where I was playing against you, right, Giorgio?
I played.
You played with, from the tees.
And Paul Stankowski played with a 6-iron, and all you had to do was putt.
Yeah, that was it. So, George, you had your full complement of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Stankowski played using only a 6-iron.
Yes.
And then my goal, or my challenge, was that I think it was Paul got to place the ball,
right?
He got
to place it.
Anywhere on the green.
On the Bridlewood green where he wanted it, yeah. Did we play a full 9?
And then I played.
I think so.
Only on the green. And the idea was who would win among the 3 of us.
No, I think we played 3 holes.
Maybe it was just 3.
Do you remember who won?
You did.
That's right.
Yeah.
I beat you and Paul Stankowski.
You're 1-0 in golf competition.
Yeah. And then wasn't there some other thing that I played?
Generic.
What was the picture that Craig Rosengarten tweeted out of me wearing that crazy hat? Wasn't that different? It was like the ticket
that
golf?
That was in the Stankowski
that was?
Challenge. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how you dressed that day?
That was you on 18 at Bridlewood chipping or putting downhill, I think. Yeah.
But it almost looks like I'm putting with just 1 hand. Was I only allowed to use 1 hand on the putter?
I think that was maybe in your follow through or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, today's the day. And you say I can go to the range early.
Double check with Corby on that, but I swear we've had competitors hitting balls before the tournament, right?
I think you're right. It's not always the best idea. A lot of golfers will tell you the range messes you up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But in this case, it probably wouldn't hurt.
And do I have to use... I guess I'll just go with whatever Conrad tells me to use, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, trust your caddy.
Okay.
Conrad!
Because I don't want to be switching out clubs all the time. Is there just 1 club that I could just pick?
No,
and just
you're going to have to switch out.
You need to switch out.
He'll take them out of the bag for you. It's not going to be that hard.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, aren't they different lengths and stuff, too?
Yes, Conrad will explain all that to you.
I've not been fitted for clubs. I think that's going to hurt me.
I don't. No, I don't think it will hurt
you. The media says you have been.
Oh, really?
Fake.
Yeah. P1 Allen. Follow up on what you Junior was talking about, what I was talking about earlier about the numbers and the double zero that's now been introduced into... It's been in basketball, and now the single zero has been introduced into football.
Yeah.
And I said that I think double zero is unstable. The fact that it's a different number than zero is just mind-boggling to me. But Allen points out a positive could be the workaround for semi-retired numbers. Like 8 here in Dallas, somebody could actually start having 0-8.
Right.
If we are opening it up to just putting a zero in front of a number that already exists.
Would look just as awkward as 0-0.
Right. So that was a way that you could compromise on something that should never be compromised, which
never.
Is the semi-retired number or retired number.
You could do that with Emmett's number and have 0-2-2.
Yes. See there? All right, a situation here. What would be your ruling in this case? This is there's a particular subreddit that's Am I the Ass? So somebody has a question as to whether or not they're being a jerk about a situation.
We have a segment just like that on this station,
that's right.
On this show.
No, right. You are a big jerk.
But this guy shared the story, and we have a lot of P1s that are in there. Childbearing years and are having kids, and what to name a kid is always very difficult,
very.
Particularly when the couple does not see eye to eye on it. And this dude tells the story about his wife. Her name is Melissa. He says, Melissa and I have been married for 4 years. She's 8 months pregnant with our son, and Melissa changed her last name to his last name. Because she doesn't want to be associated with her last name. She has a lot of trouble with her parents and everything. So she just did the traditional thing and changed her last name to his.
Off.
Well, a few weeks ago, her brother dies unexpectedly. Passes away of a heart attack at the age of 35.
Yeah.
He said they were both shocked and devastated. And her brother, a great guy, who was always really healthy. And they were very close to him. Nobody saw it coming. So he leaves behind a wife and 3 kids, this brother. Of course, Melissa, his wife, is devastated, and she wants to name their son that's about to be born after her brother. He says, I would not have any issue with it if her brother's name wasn't Charles. Because their last name is Manson.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
I can't do it.
But... You can imagine the emotion of the moment. Her brother has just passed away, and she loved her brother, wants to name their son after her brother.
Could we hide it in the middle as a middle name? Would that be any better? And graduation, wouldn't...
She wants him to be called... I mean, you could put it as a middle name, but she wants him to be called Charles.
And I know what you're saying, George, but it is funny that to honor the person, we're going to hide it as the middle name.
Right. Now,
as enough
wife,
time passed, though, like kids today, do
well,
they know
this is
who
his wife's
Charles?
Stance.
Yeah.
His wife's stance is that no one will notice, or hardly anyone will notice, or only old people would notice.
I disagree. You can't do that. You
but
cannot
his,
name your son Charles Manson.
This child's
I'm sorry.
Contemporaries, though, they will not think a thing about it. That's Charlie. That's my buddy.
I think that people will remember that name. Even younger generations will remember that name.
Go to a junior high
Heck,
today.
Heck, that happened before I was born.
I know. But you saw some of those movies, though, that obviously
and
stayed with you.
There will still be movies about it. There was just one a few years ago with Tarantino.
Yes, you can.
It's always going to be part of our American culture.
Yes.
He also has totally distorted history in that one, too.
Why are you always so insistent that...
You, man, I want him to get Manson's story right.
Well, maybe,
just right.
Maybe stick to the historical facts that Hitler didn't get killed in the theater and they didn't thwart the whole Manson murders with
some superhero. It's just ridiculous.
The superhero was a blowtorch, wasn't it, in the
yeah,
pool?
Yeah, I guess so.
Did you like the ending of that movie? Was that crazy?
No, hated it.
So they're disagreeing on this. And he's asking, should I let this go and just name our son after the guy who's been so important in Melissa's life?
No.
Sorry, he had an unfortunate name when it comes to this new last name.
Now,
some people are saying, hey, just change your last name.
Yes, that's an option.
Okay.
But then if you're the guy...
Well, my parents are gone, and that's pretty important.
Yeah,
to me,
right.
So,
but that is a solid argument because you have the last name Manson.
I mean, yeah.
It's not like...
Yeah, that's not...
If you had the last name Dahmer or Hitler, you'd probably also think about changing it.
Right.
It's not out of line to ask to change the last name.
There you go.
Some people have suggested, well, why not name him after the brother's middle name? You know, so he has one of the brother's names. But as the poster pointed out, the brother's middle name is the dad's name, is Melissa's dad's name, and she's really on the outs with her dad. So you can't go that way.
Right.
But what do you do when it oftentimes seems like when it comes to the kids, though, and for understandable reasons, doesn't the female get 51% of the vote? I mean, she's carrying it.
Yeah.
Now, if they use a surrogate, should the female still get 51% of the vote? I'm the mother. I'm you know, in charge of the kids. And you're like,
hey, not really.
But, you know, I mean, you didn't do the whole 9-month thing. See, that's the reason we were giving you the 51%.
We had this debate when our child was born a year and a half ago, and I did not like the name that my wife loved. And she didn't like the name that I liked. And we ended up not naming the baby until about 2 days after the baby was born. We still couldn't decide.
Right.
So we just had to each make a list that got away from our favorites, and we narrowed that list down. But it was a hard process.
Yeah, and it's so uncomfortable because then you're giving a name that neither of you... I'm not saying this happened in your case, but in general, that neither of you particularly was your favorite.
Right.
So nobody gets a favorite.
Right.
And then the kid's name becomes something that was each person's maybe third choice.
Somebody said something, and it's very true, when we were talking about having problems with this. They said, no matter what you end up naming your kid, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, you will say, I can't imagine having named her anything else. And it's like every name always fits the kid.
Sure.
I don't know about Charles Manson, but...
Some people suggested that they should just lean into it and give him the first name Hitler. Hitler Manson.
God.
No.
Well, and he's dealing with... You have to understand, though, he's dealing with a woman who's 8 months pregnant and just lost her brother.
At 35.
So you're also limited in the amount of time and the amount of energy with which you can argue your point. Hey, sweetheart, you know, I just think that maybe it would not be so great. And then if she keeps insisting, he's got to relent, right? She's lost the brother and she's... The one that's pregnant.
The problem is what she's not realizing is that outside of her...
There's a kid that has to live with it for the rest of his life. Yeah,
and no one will hear that name and think, oh, he was named after his uncle that passed away.
Right.
They will all think he was named after the mass murderer.
Yes. So that's why the husband in this case has to say, well, you know, I mean...
Can't do it.
The kid's going to be alive longer than you, so I mean...
Right.
We really shouldn't do it for you. Are you, brother? Let's do it for the kid.
Obviously. This is going to sound weird, but I think in today's world, you can get away with the name Charles Manson.
Mark.
Wait. Stop. Stop the show.
Mark and play for Peter King.
Was that a drop just then?
Yes.
I don't think so, George. You think you could
go
get
to
away?
That junior high today and ask him who's Charles Manson? Not one of them can tell you.
Okay, but you know that one movie or miniseries changes all that. And we're always recycling ideas.
We're still making them. Okay.
I mean, you think the kids today know who Jeffrey Dahmer is?
No.
You're nuts. That was so popular. That miniseries on Netflix was so huge.
They know.
Oh, yeah, because of that. Okay. Forgot about that. I hadn't watched it. I refused to.
I started one episode and it was just
too dark yeah, for you.
I had to check out.
According to U.S. records, since 1969, only about 40 people have been named Charles Manson.
That could be in the top 40.
Courageous parents there. That's 80 people who either didn't care or were very ill-informed.
All right, Gordo. Thank you. That's we are all three sitting here like kids waiting on Santa Claus to see if Ted Emmerich is going to work in a ticketism.
He's going to say something? He's going to say
and
something?
He did at the very end. That's what happens in here, the reference to our public bathroom segment that we had last week.
God, Ted is the greatest.
That's what happens in here.
It was even better having to wait for it to all the way to the end.
I'm like, well, maybe not. First one.
That's what happens in here.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, we will have Masters updates for the next few days here on the station, courtesy Ted Emmerich and Westwood One. A reminder, KISS brings their End of the Road World Tour to Dickies Arena October 27th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, or you could text SHOUT to 22126 right now for a chance to win tickets. One quick addition to Ted's leaderboard update. A lot of players at minus one, but now Adrian Maronk from Poland. Not familiar with his work. He's at minus two through seven, and Tiger just teed off. He parred his first hole, number one. I saw he was in a bunker on two. But he hasn't yet finished two. So you got some guys that are already making the turn, and the best score out there is minus two. Sounds like it's playing kind of tough right now.
Yeah, very early still, but this may be, this in the first half of tomorrow may be the best weather they have.
Yeah.
Sounds like the cold front's going to roll in, and it's going to get windy and kind of nasty over the weekend.
Ted mentioned Kevin Na had to withdraw. Kevin Na and Mike Queer, the former champ, they were the first two off today. Everybody else is playing a threesome. They were the first two off. And then Na had to withdraw. So now Mike Weir is making the rest of the loop by himself. How weird must that be?
That is weird. Sometimes they'll give him what they used to call a marker and someone would play with him. I don't know if that happens midway through the round, though, if he just is by himself.
Yeah. Hmm. And we're getting some details coming out about the Champions Dinner on Tuesday night. Everybody wondered how that would go with all the LIV golfers there, because there are several guys on the LIV Tour who are former champions, like Dustin Johnson and Pat Reed and Phil Mickelson. And by most accounts, everything went very, very well. It was just a bunch of guys, 33 of them, who are part of this exclusive fraternity, wearing their green jackets and having a good time. And apparently there was no LIV Tour anything brought up in conversation. Everybody said, we just talked golf, we talked about our families, things like that. But two of the champs, Fuzzy Zeller and Tommy Aaron, both observed to the Augusta Chronicle that Phil was very, very isolated and quiet and removed. Fuzzy said, we're just 33 past champions in a room, all trying to get along. Nobody said a word about LIV. But Phil sat at the end of the table and kept to himself. He didn't speak at all. Tommy Aaron said, I wished him good luck, but I couldn't believe how quiet he was. Phil took a very low profile. He didn't say a word.
That's the awkwardness that I was talking about. I didn't think there would be any sort of banter or talk about the LIV Tour. They don't have to. They know what's been said over the last year. And Phil used to be kind of the life of the party.
Yeah.
That's the awkwardness. There's a lot of bitterness going both ways, and I think that illustrates it more than anything, the fact that Phil was just sitting there not really saying anything.
How difficult do you think it was for him to decide to come and play this year and be a part of all of these festivities? There had to be half of him that was saying, you don't want it, but you're going to look bad if you don't go. You love the tournament. You want it.
Yeah.
But you're going to maybe catch hell.
That, and I think that there is, I think they're treating this, as I've said several times this week, I think the LIV Tour players are treating this as a team golf event.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to all go, and if they're not going to win, they want to have as many guys as possible make the cut and get as many guys in contention and somehow make a statement that way. But as Shipnick said yesterday, that really doesn't make any sort of statement. It's no one's saying that Dustin Johnson can't win this tournament,
right?
And if you are, I just don't think that's very smart. Of course he is.
But if it's a team golf thing, Phil hasn't been playing well. He's probably not going to help him very much.
Yeah, they may have to drop his score.
Although weird things can happen at Augusta.
Yeah.
These past champions.
Yeah, and he can get it going on the greens. I have a good feeling this week for my guy Jordan Spieth.
You do say that every single week.
But listen to this. Listen to this. You've heard the Easter Sunday thing, right?
No.
Last year, he won the Heritage on Easter Sunday. The year before that, the Valero Open on Easter Sunday. Of course, this weekend, Easter Sunday, final round of the Masters. He has been playing better. He said he feels he's playing the best he has since 2017. That's the last time he won a major.
It's certainly not out of the question. He's high on the Vegas favorites chart to win this week. But I see him the way you see Gordo. Spieth could run away and win this thing. He's that good, and his game fits this course. Or he could miss the cut. He could sit down and start reading a book in the middle of Amen Corner.
He's not going to sit down and start reading a book.
But I see, maybe not quite to the extremes of Gordo, but I could see him winning. I could see him blowing up.
I think it's turning. Plus, those good vibes yesterday, him playing with his little son, Charlie, in the par 3 tournament. I don't know if you saw him. He can barely walk, but he's putting on the greens. And
his son is Charlie also?
Sammy.
Did I say Charlie? Yeah. Sammy. Yeah, rolling around in the sand traps. I think that will relax him the day before the tournament.
Okay.
And 40 years ago this week at Brookhaven Country Club, the R.L. Turner golf team won the Dallas Invitational.
Wow, are you guys having a reunion?
No, I just called Todd the other day. I said, hey, you know what happened 40 years ago today? And he didn't even know. I had to remind him what happened. But it was just part of the karma of the week as we send it out towards Augusta and another guy who used to play at Brookhaven Country Club. All right, we'll see what Norm and Donnie are doing next. Can Ty Walker repeat? Is Mark Elfenbein overqualified? Will the great Gordo run away with the April Fool's Open? We'll find out this afternoon at Prairie Lakes. Coverage right here on the ticket starting at 4:10 with the first shot.
I'm ready.
Shotgun start. Yes, Tyler in there as well. Right now, Crosstalk is brought to us by Soto Weight Loss and Crest Luxury Cars of Frisco. We say hey to Norm and Donovan.
Morning, morning.
Morning, morning. Happy good morning.
Hey to the Musers.
How we doing?
I'm doing okay.
The April Fool's Open that when Donovan played in it, and it was a while back because of the pandemic, was that 2019? 2018?
Maybe in 2019. Pandy hit in 2020.
It was before.
Have taken a year off or so.
20-00.
For some reason, I want to say 16, but that feels
maybe
too early.
Was it 16 that far or 17? Back? It was about,
I think so.
So we took a year. Yeah, you're
we
right.
Took some time off.
Right. 16.
Yeah.
Donovan swore, look, I'm not getting into golf just because I'm playing it. And all of a sudden, he got the bug. Who knows? Maybe Tyler will take up golf now. Or
I told Junior.
Ty, if he wins for a second straight year.
Before we came back, you could put me in the April Fool's Open right now, and I may not win.
Donnie
After
also.
All those years, I may not win.
Yeah, you would.
I don't think so. I think Ty still may get me.
Donnie had a really good observation because we were talking about, he and I are both worried we're going to see too good a golf today.
We might.
Like, Gordo might be good, Elf might be good, Tyler might be good, Ty we know is good, Jake might be good. And what'd you say about watching good golf?
If I wanted to watch good golf, I'd watch the Masters. Right. I don't watch any one par hole, even bogey hole.
I want to see terrible golf today.
I want to see farting whips, and falling down.
Water balls.
Someone almost being killed, like I almost killed the dude off the tee the first year.
You will. Trust me. And it's going to be wheels off.
He was so far to the side and almost at the same, like we were almost right across from each other, and somehow my drive went right to right to the phone. I think I still have the video. It was like as soon as I hit it, I went, oh, watch it.
Yeah. If you do come watch today, don't line the fairways like you do at the Nelson.
No.
Or anything like that. I mean,
you will die.
Get behind a tree.
Don't even line the rough.
No.
Right.
Get out of bounds.
No, stand in the fairway.
Exactly or, right. Yeah. Straight down the middle.
That
get
is
your
funny.
Group right yes. down the middle.
That's where we ought to put the gallery. Is
right in the down middle of the fairway. Because if it gets to them, it's going to be rolling, right. So it's not going to hurt. Fine.
We yeah. could get those velvet ropes
yeah.
and have a long, thin gallery inside the velvet ropes.
What a great idea.
Inside the fairway, yes. right down the middle, especially on the par five.
0% chance they'll get hit.
But if you're standing to the side, even if you're by a tree, you may get yeah. plunked upside the head.
Okay. Maybe we'll do that this afternoon. Put them in the fairway. What are you guys doing?
A lot of Mavs talk, man. Man,
huge what a day
win
yesterday.
Last night.
Huge, what a day.
Huge win. It never stopped.
It really doesn't.
It started with Tim Hardaway Sr. and ended with Kyrie going nutso in the fourth quarter. Like, what a crazy-ass day.
Crazy. Yep.
So we'll discuss that. We are going to have a Masters bet of our own and a draft, even though they've started. You know, beware if you want to pick those guys at the top right now. It never works. But, oh, who are you looking at?
Victor Hovland.
Oh, whatever.
Two after two. All right, what time's that? What time's the big draft?
Right at the top, man.
Okay.
Right at the top. We need to get this going because they've already started. So, a lot of basketball.
Okay, that's Norm. That's Donovan.
Trying to
they are next. Thanks to Tyler, Fernando, and DJ for the great Gordo. And Junior Miller, I'm Giorgio. We'll talk to you this afternoon and talk to you again in the morning, 5:30 on The Ticket.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station. Grab your umbrellas as April showers P1s everywhere with hot sports opinions and fun and games. We splash around Kansas City for the NFL Draft. It's raining buckets and goals as the Mavs and Stars make their final playoff push. April also has the Masters. And we dodge lightning during the April Fool's Golf Open.
And in first place, Craig Jr.